Bitte für Linecheck, yes.
Aber ihr hört mich, ja? Ist zu laut oder zu leise?
It's fine for me. How is it for you guys?
I'm good.
Nice. Damit wir so ein bisschen, ups, damit wir so ein bisschen Feeling bekommen, spiele ich den Jingle und dann geht's los.
Jingle. Jingle.
Ich muss mich da auch mal immer einmischen. Also als Vertreter der ganz normalen Bürger dieses Landes muss ich mal sagen, dieses ganze Nerdgeschwafel geht mir selber voll auf den Zeiger. Es muss auch noch einfach nachvollziehbar sein. Ich habe eine Bandmaschine und einen Atari. Leck mich doch am Arsch.
Radio Woltersdorf und Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2026. Live from the Super Booth 2026 from a mobile studio.
Also hereinspaziert und mitgemacht. Ihr habt doch die Pionierbluse an oder wenigstens euer Halstuch umgebunden. Natürlich beginnen wir mit einem Lied.
End of file.
So, hallo und herzlich willkommen, Superbooth Radio, Tag 3, der Samstag. Die erste Kasse Kaffee inhaliert. Genauso fühlt sich das an. Also wir sind immer noch, wir sind nicht mehr im Stream. Wir sind in der Aufzeichnung heute. Aber wir freuen uns sehr, tolle Gäste begrüßen zu dürfen. Zum 10. Jahr in Reihenfolge for the 10th. Und wir machen in Englisch weiter, denke ich.
Schade.
Mit Unterstützung von Jero. For the 10th year in a row, we're really happy to welcome Guo and Piero from TipTop Audio, which is a long-standing tradition at TipTop Audio here in the Super Radio. We just heard Andreas Schneider and we're having a bit of a laugh. This was a jingle that Jero constructed out of a conversation where I believe I was part of it and I was going too deep into the details of program change technology and bus board systems and especially like gate bus or if we should send program change, blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah, and maybe not too much of this nerd talk stuff. That's not how we do it. I have an Atari. I have a tape recorder. Fuck off. he's a genius for that. And that's really the spirit of, I love how he humbles us and he lets us free in the world and we can enjoy all our crazy stuff.
But, wow, it's 10 years. Huh? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to myself. Like the first time I walked in here, I remember other Super Booth also, but first time I remember walking in here and I think also this entrance, there was a doorway and then there was stair upstairs and I think you were on the right and you already had the Mantis and you had some the TipTop One. Sampler was fresh and yes. Everything was green and yellow. And I remember it was crazy going from the silver, from the Z3000s and from the silver ZDSP to the white, yellow and green ZDSP with newer cards. And then this was kind of like the state of the art, the newest, the shimmer, reverb and custom DSP programming, wow, and stuff. And your nice drum modules. And here we are 10 years later. I can't even believe that. It feels like almost no time has passed and it's so many modules later, generations of technology later, things we wouldn't have believed.
It's like when you're having good time just flies. So I guess we're having good time.
So yeah, aren't we? Yeah, seems like it. Yeah.
Yeah, music, I mean, it powers our life, right? And when we play synthesizer, we are basically playing to ourselves music. I mean, some of us are professional musicians, but a lot of us are just hobbyists who like to sit at home and play for ourselves. And I think the fact that we are here on the 10th time just proves how powerful the instruments are and how meaningful they are for so many people coming here, showing almost every year. I'm seeing a lot of faces that I'm seeing almost every year. And it's become a true community. It's really amazing.
Yes, unbelievable. Piero, for 10 years, I think, have we had you on the radio before? Certainly not with me, but I'm not here always.
Yeah, we was here also in the previous year. So it's another appointment.
I'm so happy you're doing it.
Part of the family.
Because you've also been doing it 10 years as part of the family. And how do you feel about this transition, this 10 years of Superbook?
It's great. We're talking about the news, the new modules, about the event, about the situation here, about the environment, everything. So pretty cool. We're talking about the music.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I think we have some music from you But I wanted to ask a little bit about stuff because I've seen you compose, and for you, it must also have been this transition to the period of times, and you've always gone with the technology, of course.
Yeah, I released a new album in November with a new project. The project is Concrete Noir. The album is Roman Ruins. All the album is made with using our Tiptop Audio modules with our technology. And my voice, my Fender guitar, and it was great to make these tracks, music that I like, using our technology and mixing in a very easy way all this stuff. My voice, my guitar, sometimes a Fender bass and art sequence. I'm using this our modules, and so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe we can go into more detail after we hear a little bit. I hear Gur requested the track Sirens.
Yes.
Would you like to say something about what this track specifically is?
I think this track, I like it. Obviously, the sounds are just amazing. And I love Piero Styles since forever. But Sirens is about the war. And we know there's wars in the world. And I think it hits me hard to hear this track, especially now. Yeah, so yeah. I dedicate it to everybody who listened.
Also, Sirens von Roman's Ruins.
Fire.
Wow. Wow.
That's easy to listen that there are polyphonic instruments in this track.
Maybe my ears or my mental imagery works differently to the intended recipient of the general public for this, but my emotional reaction is strong also. It's a very beautiful track. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a little bit different from what I imagined. Having seen you all these years, I remember from going to Gurs, pumping techno improvisations 10 years ago and then slowly bringing your melodic style. I remember distinctly this, there's a second gentleman and he has a different style of composing, and then seen you noodles for hours, days and days, and then the polyphonic system came. And
it's a way to mix something from the past with the sound of the future. And also the style, no? It's something that is coming from the past with a modern attitude. So for me, it's a continuous bridge.
And I didn't know you sing at all. It's obviously difficult to set up in there, and I'm ungrateful to do it for hours. But wow.
Yeah, probably we'll do some live sets here in Berlin.
That would be lovely. Would be lovely. Those people would be surprised.
I'm planning a new EP now with three new tracks. On Desert, that is a label that is between Berlin and Italy, with Lego Velto remix and Caron remix.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah.
So, it probably will be released in end of September, first day of October. The album, the EP is ready, so we are just waiting the right moment to push it out.
So that's Romance Ruins. So as in romance and as in ruins of the ruins
it's
after
it's
the war.
It's a double meaning of this word.
The verb romance, to romance, Italiano, no? See? Oh, so great. Yes, and Jero had a sideline comment, which it's just lovely. The East Coast versus West Coast, that wasn't very East Coast synthesis. Yes, it wasn't. But there's a reason, perhaps. Is there? You didn't choose this new, we know we have this new Buchla element that could be added as a sonic texture. Present?
The 259 is used in these tracks, a lot. It's part of the album, the sound. And now this year, finally, we have also the MARF available with the last firmware. And I think that I will use also this new module a lot in the next production,
It's very lovely that it's not, it was a little bit different from what we hear here in the fair sometimes as demonstration for how modules work and all this crazy scientific sound, science demonstrations.
Yeah, the album is also a personal experience. You know, so it's something that is part of my past, or my experience about music, and now I'm trying to push it out using our technology.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy we finally got to talk a little bit on the air about your personal musical path. But of course, I have to press on about some technical questions. I also want to advertise a little bit for you. It's because I own a Mantis case, and it was one of my first cases I bought, and I was really happy that I stuck with it, and it's been great through all the years. I had a problem recently where I plugged it in and it suddenly one Monday it doesn't work anymore, and I sent it to you because you have a great reputation of being a person who's approachable if something doesn't work anymore. So this is
I know the situation where you are on stage, right? Yeah. Something go wrong and somebody needs to save you. So
I was really glad for your helping hand. The materials arrived and you guided me a little bit how to do it, and I'm really happy it works again now. I'm really relieved.
I'm Gur the ambulance.
Top, nice one. So I had to. Obviously, through the years, you've surprised us with technology and gave us more freedom of things that we could do. We had a talk about the ART system already, but this year the MARF is new, and this obviously there's so many discussions. Eurorack, Buchla, should it happen? There's also a new Buchla product that is different from other Buchla products from before. So there are things in Buchla where Buchla came up with the idea of making an instrument that is decidedly different And this decidedly difference is now we try to emulate again and again and again to make it exactly the same otherness that we were experiencing before. I had a conversation with Kai Niggemann, who is a musical performer and sound designer I've known for years. He's also a long time musician, and he only plays Buchla 200E nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I had a long discussion with him, shout out Kai Niggemann, about the differences, and he preferred the higher voltage and he preferred the single sourcedness in the cables, so the plugging in, and so there are advantages to playing Buchla, but you are bringing a lot of these advantages into the Eurorack system nowadays. The MARV is a rather complex to understand sequencer system, which I think I could, if I would describe it, it's 216 step sequences that are voltage controllable with clocks, and they can be synced or not be synced, and you can allocate positions via CV voltage, and you can cross modulate them, but there are also preset safe states, and it's rather complex.
Yeah, I would say there's one misperception, mm-hmm. and that it's a sequencer.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
It's a function generator.
Wow.
Now, but I'll be honest that even myself, I mostly use it as a sequencer. So I think this is where it's got its reputation from, because it excels as a sequencer probably more than any step sequencer I have at least used. And I'm doing this for 30 years, so I know some. Mm. it's really unique. It's very special. It's not traditional. There's not even a sync input on this thing. You look at the sequencer. Did you ever saw a sequencer that doesn't have a reset and a sync input? I don't think I ever saw one. But here comes the MARV. What we know about the MARV was never a finished piece. Don't Buchla build it? We don't know how many are out there, but they're probably, you can count them with one hand, not even two. And we know that they never fully worked. And when you look at the amount of features that he cramped into something like that, trying to make it in the 70s is just, I don't know, like, really, what's wrong with you, man? It's where are you trying to get with this thing? But he did it. And obviously it works. It mostly works, again, not fully. And what probably the biggest part for us is that he left behind a user manual, which doesn't exist for any other Buchla module. And that's a big deal, because since when Don is sitting down to write functions. And my assumption is that it was for him to write for himself what his idea are for this instrument, because it's so complex. It's hard to keep everything in the head for what it is. And that's why a lot of us are treating it as like, okay, it's a sequencer, or it's like we're trying to give it a title in order to really conclude what it is. Mm. But it's just so much more than just a single thing. And probably a function generator is the best name, because in electronics, a function generator is anything that generates a mathematical function. And mathematical function can be a slope, an angle, a vector, right? I mean, there's all these powers that works. And in the MARV, you have all these in the panel as switches, as real functional things that you can touch in real time, activate or disable. And this is where the fun is with that instrument. There's no menus, there's no screens, there's nothing. It's just right there, a big panel, all these switches. And I find myself just like, you know, so bouncing on the switches without any plan and looking for what's going to happen and what's going to come. And it's surprisingly almost always. So I'm playing with this thing for a year, I think, now. Once we got this to stabilize more and more, we showed it last year, right? That was the first time.
Yes, exactly.
And I remember I stand there at the booth and everybody was so excited. Wow, Tip Top is going to make the MARV. And I told Piero and said, listen, I'm not sure we're actually going to be able to make it. It's so complex. Like, we are taking a chance here. You know, people build this expectation that it's going to happen really soon. But we've been using it for a while, and wow, it's such an amazing device. So thank you, Don Buchla, for going crazy.
And thank you, Gur, for giving us a bit of the history of the MARV. That's This different perspective. Thank you for correcting my perception there. This is, I have to stay more open about what it actually is. We had an idea about using it as a oscillator in a sense, which is probably possible.
Probably possible. Yeah.
There are things, one thing that I would like to say on the air, there are things in Eurorack that are not possible in the old Buchla technology, which is also another perspective that makes a tip-top audio Buchla system so interesting, because it's technically possible to insert an audio channel
right
into the transport CV,
yes,
for example.
Yes,
it's
yes,
like this.
This have a technical roots. The decision why Don made audio and CV separate is actually very smart. And not a lot of people fully understand the reason. And the reason is that you want separate grounding. You know, electronic grounding is where all the currents go. And if there's too much ground, too much current going into the ground starts to go up. Like imagine like raining, right? It's raining and it starts flooding, right? The flooding is what we call hiss and noise. So when LED turns on a module, it spits out current into the ground and you would hear it. It adds up to the shh that you have in the background. So Don's idea was to separate those two. And that's actually why a lot of these Vectros existed, because they create what's called a galvanic isolation. It means that you are isolating two electronic circuits with lights. So there's no physical connection between them. They have separate grounds, right? So that's really the background of why making that way. On the other hand, there is a price to pay, and that's you cannot patch between those two things. So you are limited. So when we connected those things together, we did sacrifice a little bit of the ground noise. Though I must admit that today's power supply are better than what they used to be. So there's more tolerance for that. And we also at the same time achieved the ability to patch from audio into CV and start FM things that, you know, you just couldn't do before. So I think we enhanced what the 200 system can do quite dramatically with just that move alone.
Wow. There was quite a few points of information in there that I wasn't fully aware of. This is a proper scientific document now. Amazing. I have to admit this on the air. I wasn't aware that Vectros had this, the opto decoupling was actually for reducing the ground load in the amplification.
Yeah, it's to separate the grounds, the two grounds in a system. So you imagine you have two electronic, you actually have it in other devices. If you look at a proper MIDI connection, let's say you have a computer controlling a synthesizer, there is an opto isolator in that as well. Because the idea is to separate the ground. So the computer ground is completely separated from the synthesizer.
Because you technically don't want to ruin the fidelity of the synthesis part by injecting MIDI data.
It's not the MIDI, it's the ground. The ground is like, imagine like, just like the ground we're standing on. Imagine it was moving all the time. It was just shaking. Mm. It will create a sound, right? Mm. And that sound is, it's not the sound that you are looking, we are talking, right? But we don't want to hear the ground noise on top of it. Mm. So this is the hiss. This is the noise that is coming and is getting added.
It's the noise floor in the Eurorack system that we have.
This is the noise floor, exactly. This is, yeah.
Oh, wow. And oh, I see. And I have so many more questions that are going to get more detailed, but I might have to sort this out in person. Yeah, that's a lot of nerd stuff in one morning. I don't know what time it is. Are we? No, it's fine. Oh, you were saying, let me just ask one more thing. I think one idea about the arbitrary function generator is this idea of the voltage stage, and that the voltage stage is a fixed position. But you were saying you're generating a function. A function is, of course, like any switching is also a function. We were talking about analog computing earlier on. Schneider's also managed, introduced this year's Superbooth by talking about the future in analog computing, that Chinese manufacturers, processing and so forth. Maybe analog computing is also part of how we make music, but also part of scientific, new scientific approach to solutions that we haven't solved yet scientifically. So analog computing with the discrete values between values is the thing we are looking for. So
You know, the qubit computers are basically what you are describing. It's a state of matter that is not black or white or zero and one, like digital computing that we are used to. And it's a whole different a part of science, of physics, that deals with values that are in between. Now, for us, you know, musician, we know that for many, many years, especially the ones of us who are grew up on in the analog age, we remember this warmth, this very hot sound. And when we are transitioning to digital, we feel the difference, right? And that difference translates in so many parts of our life. And as you just mentioned, it shows up as probably the next stage is going to be those supercomputers that are able to use data that is not necessarily right or wrong, zero or one. It's the in-between. And there's just it's a field in math that is just huge explosion right now, especially with AI and the development of things that are not necessarily, you know, you ask the AI something, right? It gives you the wrong answer. How many times happened to you?
All the time.
And it's weird because it's a machine. It's supposed to be like perfect. Again, it's all related to this kind of new approach to digital, to be able to say, okay, there's more than just left and right, zero or one. There's just all this in between. And the AI is kind of like a way to, it's probably the first step in software to use that approach, saying, you know, yeah, it can make mistake, yeah, and it's not a big deal. In the old days, we used to call it bugs, right?
Yeah, exactly. And now we're fighting like hell to talk these machines into some kind of thing, and all they are is a mirror of whatever we said to them before. And it's like
First of all, they are feeding from what we feed them with, right? I was just talking to someone here at the show a few days ago, and we realized that right now AI is feeding from everything we wrote over the years. But what's going to happen next, right? We're going to stop writing, right? Because we're going to go to AI, ask how I fixed this and this. You're not going to go to a forum and say, hey, you know, guys, I fixed this thing on my module, and now the information is not going to be there. So what's the AI going to be doing about that? So it's a...
it's this thing. If you remember Prince of Persia, this computer spiel from the computer game from the 80s, 90s, there was this one level where the prince had to go face himself in the mirror. And it's this thing. Now, what happens if you jump into the mirror? I think this is this kind of moment. Ternary computing where you have the zero, the one, and the minus one. What is this? Yes, no, maybe? Or is it yes here and yes there? Like, how do you think about this?
It's moving to statistics. It's no more about a single object. It's about many objects and what is the perception, the statistics behind it. This field in math, again, it's exploding right now, and it's all about doing statistics. I think the roots are maybe somewhere in the military applications, because they are monitoring so much amount of information and they need to be able to tell wrong from right, I guess. But it's hard because what they're dealing with is with usually people, and how can you define that, right? So statistic comes as the tool to probably quantify just... there's another name for that. It's called big data. It's another field in computing right now. And big data means that you're collecting a huge amount of information and you are doing statistics on it. So again, it's not a black or a white. It's not the old way of programming. It's a new way.
You know what I want? I want a Buchla 200E from TipTop Audio, where each of the... everything that is connected knows what is connected to what. We've seen this last year here. There was a similar concept. It's mind melting, and it's really brain wrecking if you detected which socket was connected to, And then you could save the patch and it would tell you, you know, you have to connect to this jack. And then you could save everything. And then you, I imagine the big data approach would be then to sort by similar patching and so forth. And this is, yeah, this is like the beyond what we're going to.
Yeah, but actually, I will put you down back to earth for a second. Because the problem there, I mean, this has been going for a while, is that we're going to need to compromise analog sound for that. That means that everything needs to be digital data then. So again, compromises, you know, that's,
I think this is I believe this is called a PWM. No, this is this modulation.
PWM is, yeah, is there.
It's one solution for that. No,
it's one solution.
Everything becomes digitized, but in a high frequency that we are not able to hear. But there's there's another noise that's coming that's very unpleasant and unwelcoming. That
and also you break into pieces. Mm-hmm. You're taking this organic analog current is like water, is like air, is part of nature. And bits are,
and
not
suddenly it's all pixels again.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's not what we want.
Yeah.
So this or that, yeah, it depends on what people want.
Well,
no?
It's all gonna coexist one way or the other. It's you know, I think that in the early 90s we all saw the collapse of the entire synthesizer industry. Everybody says back then that the computer is going to be the only thing moving forward. And it was quite sad.
It was horrible. Remember,
it was a disaster, right?
I had one laptop that was nice, but
And, you know, it was like it just proved to us that there's no black and white. The world is more than the sum of those numbers.
Exactly, and this I think also what Schneider said, that we want to get back to this talking to each other. There's not only black and white, it's the conversations, it's the people we meet. I think this is what I'm taking back this year, is I'm normally in a big stress to meet 330 people plus 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, and it's all about meeting those people and what they're actually on about, why they are running around, what is their perspective, why are you doing like purple thingies with 7-step sequences. That's nice too.
Why you are here, you know. It's like, again, speaking of 10 years doing this, right, these people keep coming again and again, and there's a reason for that. It's not so obvious. We cannot take it for granted. I think we need to really thank ourselves for again putting all together, to Mr. Schneider and the team and Schneider Laden. But you know, the people that come here, they love music, and when they come and meet together and you see face to face and you touch a person and you shake his hand and you feel the warmth of his body, it's not so obvious anymore. Now in the day, we're all sitting at home with a phone, and the only thing I'm touching is the screen, the cold screen of my iPhone.
Yeah. So let's touch more knobs. Let's touch more people. Well, you know. No, Superbooth is, for me too, is the loveliest place to be. And it's very difficult to explain to people outside of this community or who haven't gotten this as a hobby, is that this is really the foremost place on earth to be for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're in a green meadow. The sun is shining relatively nicely, and there's a lake over there, and people are dancing, and there's food, and there's dance. But there's 1,000 people here who have engineering ideas, who have music ideas, who want to get in touch with each other, who play music, who have other approaches to music, and it's amazing to have had this conversation with you. Thank you for coming down, Tip Top Audio, Go and Piero.
Thanks for having us.
Many, many, many more years, many more modules, and see you in 365 days, I hope. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
In a corner, got the ceiling open.